I mean, I want to start exactly, well, about the place that we left off. I want to go to Romans 15, 16? No. 16 and 15. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, yes. There you go. That's why I got you guys here. All right. How many have ever noticed that verse before if you've got a King James Version? I mean, had you ever seen that before, what we brought out this morning? I thought that was right neat, that God wants us addicted to something. Isn't that neat? He wants you totally devoted to something. You know, the world can get addicted. They can get addicted to their things, but there's some things that God says, I want you addicted to. And let's read it in 1 Corinthians 16, 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves, devoted themselves, coveted, firmly, devoutly lusted after, sovereignly sought after, coveted to minister to the saints. How about that? God is calling today servants, and we covered that this morning. He's calling servants. Except you become a servant in the kingdom of God, you'll never excel. He that is greatest in the kingdom of God must first be a what? Servant. You cannot be great in the kingdom of God except you're a servant. Jesus said, I come to minister. I come to deacon. I come to be a minister. I come to be a servant. How many believe God is really raising up an army today? Amen. I mean, He's raising an army of God. You really believe that? We preach it, we prophesy it, we teach it, we talk it, we sing it. God's got an army. Amen? Don't we? One day we're going to believe it. Because you see, we can't go to battle because we don't have our weapons of warfare ready. Do we? Are we ready with the gifts of the Spirit to wage war with the enemy? Are the gifts of the Spirit manifested in the body of Christ so that we can wage war with the enemy? How many believe, though, that the Lord really wants us to get the gifts of the Spirit in operation so that we can manifest and wage war with the enemy? I want to say something. You know that as I've taught you, that God has sovereignly been raising up teachers and evangelists and pastors, and we know that now He's doing prophets in the 80s and in the 90s and the 2000s. There'll be the apostles that'll come into their fruition. And by the year 2000, I really believe that the church, the real church, is going to be moving in manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in its totality. Not just in tongues and interpretation, but it's going to be coming forth with the body of Christ in true body ministry. We're seeing a trend that way, don't we? Are we tending upward? Do we see it moving in that direction? A real emphasis, a real, not just a hit and a miss type thing, but a real emphasis. I want to show you this, and I'm going to hit it and go. I'm not going to linger here. Let's go to the book of Joel. I saw this the other day in the Word of God, and it's about the army. The book of Joel. Prophet Joel, chapter 2, sound the trumpet or blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm. All right? And then it talks there about a great army. Now, according to the teachings that I have had in the past, I always thought that this army that it goes into describing here, an army that has never before been like this army, was the army of the Lord. But what I want you to see is it's not the army of the Lord. This army that can climb walls and come into the windows of the houses and that can get into your house any which way that it wants to and can never, you can't hurt it. I mean, it seems like you can't do anything about it, is not the army of the Lord. Now let's read it and see what I'm talking about, because this is the army that we've got to wage war against. Verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. What is Zion? We are Zion. You have not come to Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion. Now, you're not going to come there one day. You are come. Is that what the Bible says? We've already come to Zion. And he says, now blow the trumpet and sound an alarm in the midst of my people. I want you to sound an alarm. I want you to bring forth a message, a clear message that'll warn my people that this army's coming. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, and it is nigh at hand. Is the day of the Lord coming? Huh? I want you to know it's here. I want you to know you are living in the day of the Lord. I want you to know somebody better be sounding a trumpet. Somebody better be blowing and telling somebody something, because, man, there's an army coming. A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of what kind of darkness? Thick darkness. Kind of sounds like Egypt, doesn't it? Thick darkness. A darkness that can be felt. Can you sometimes feel the evilness? Judy Lance and I went down and we stopped in Atlanta on our way down to the seminar. And we went in this shopping mall. There was some little thing there that Judy wanted to go into. So being the wonderful husband that I am, I stopped. And we went in. And as soon as I went in, man, I said, I don't like this. Now, I'm not spooky spiritual. You know that. I mean, you know, I don't float around and levitate. But I am sensitive to spiritual warfare and spiritual things. I can tell when something's not right. And we went into this place, and as soon as we went in, it was gloomy, thick darkness. Just, you could feel it. You could sense it. So we had been there a few minutes, and I said, I'm going to walk down to the sporting goods place. And I walked down there, and it wasn't even a sporting goods place. It was where they sold tennis shoes. Anyway, I came back up there, and I walked back into this place, and boy, it was just a gooky feeling. And I walked into there, and out walked these two little guys. Just holding each other. So I hung around my wife and my child a little while. And I said, let's walk out of here. We went out. We moved down. And it wasn't long. Judy started feeling it. She said, whew. Well, what? Lance started getting it. Daddy, what? And so I shared with them what I thought that it was. And it wasn't long. We saw some more. And it was just a thick, gloomy darkness. I mean, you could feel it. It was. And Judy said, "Let's get out of here. Let's go." Have you ever experienced something like that? I mean, if you can feel it, you can feel it. I bet you young people. I bet you can go to high school sometimes, and you can just feel the oppression. You know, it's just there. Huh. That's what this is talking about. A day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds, a day of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong people, they're coming. There hath not been ever like, neither shall be any more ever after, even to the years of many generations. Now this is the army that's coming. This is not the army God's raised. This is the army that he has instructed somebody to blow the trumpet and sound the alarm about. Do you see that? He says, they're coming. It's gloomy. It's darkness. There's an army coming that has never before been like this army. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. A land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and a horseman, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as the young people set in battle array. Before their faces the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. Does that sound like an army of the Lord? It's not. This is the army of darkness. Now read with me. Stay with me. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. They have order. They've got more order. They've got more rule. They've got more order than the church does. I'm promising you that. They are set in order. They're moving and they're in order. Their ranks are filed. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk, they're together. They shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon your house. They shall enter in your windows like a thief. They'll come right down your television antenna, right into your living room, and tell you that it's all right to teach your children to use condoms. Am I being too hard?
No way.
Huh? It's all right to teach your children these things of humanistic teachings and theologies? It's all right? They'll come right into your living room. How are you going to keep them out? They'll come in by the newspaper. They'll come in by magazines. They'll come in by books. Your children brings books into your home from school that teaches them humanistic theories and theologies. Never before an army like this one comes right into your home. It's okay to teach your children safe sex. Now you see why it's saying blow the trumpet. Somebody blow the trumpet.
Amen.
The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter His voice before that army. Before His army, the Lord shall utter His voice. Now comes the army of the Lord. For His camp is also very great. And He is strong that executeth His word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? You've got two armies here. Do you see that? You've got an army of darkness, and you've got an army of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They're going to war. They're going to war. Now, I want to leave this, but I just want to thrust this at you. If you really believe that God's raising an army up today, we have got to get all the equipment that we can to fight this battle. And we've been hooping and hollering and running and shouting, and some churches having funeral services every service, but it's time to mount ourselves up with the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit, put on the full armor of God, and go to battle.
Hallelujah.
This army has never before existed like you and I must fight. Gross darkness. Thick darkness. Coming into your house all sorts of ways. You can't keep it out. Is that what it says? I was ministering from Matthew 24 a while back as we was doing the restoration of the church, and I was talking about the time that it declined, the apostasy, the falling away, and I said, I really can't explain it. I said, I don't know, but I just know those things have happened, and over there, here's where I feel like we are right now in God's timetable. And I just knew that's what God was speaking to me. Well, about 2 days later, we were in here praying one morning, and Tebow showed me. Look over here in verse 28 of chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. In those days will I pour out my spirit. Where have you heard that before? Huh? Where? Okay, book of Acts. Let's look at it. Book of Acts. You need to see this because this is the day you're living in. I mean, I wished I had it at that time when I was ministering that. I can show it to you now. Acts chapter 2. Day of Pentecost comes. Everybody's baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Running around talking in tongues. They think they're drunk. Peter says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. This is that. Right? Look at verse 15. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. What I've just showed you is where Joel talks about that army and that great darkness and that gross sin, that darkness army that was over there in Joel that he prophesied would be in the last days. Guess what day you're living in?
Amen.
Huh?
Last day.
I'm telling you, it's here. And you can wait for it to happen if you want to. But I'm telling you, it is upon us. You can wait for Jerusalem to fall. You can wait for all those things to take place if you want to. I promise you by the word of the Lord, mount up an army against this darkness that's here. You don't have to wait for that army to get here. It's here. How in the world did I get onto that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm really teaching the gifts of the Spirit. And in the last days, he said, there I go. That's how. Thank you, Jesus. And in the last days, he said, I will pour out my Spirit upon your sons and on your daughters. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And they shall do what? Prophesy. Okay. That'll take me right into it. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today, I think we're living in the most unique day that we've ever lived in the time of history, in all history. How many knows what history is? Huh? His story. History. And all of history is revolved around his story. Everything that's ever happened, ever will happen, and what is happening now is revolving around one person. Who is he? Jesus. It's all his story. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points to him. It's his story. All of history, even today, the day in which we live, is his story. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe that God is having a people stirred up, and they are so hungry today. I see people that's just wanting the Word of God, wanting truth. They have battles sometimes in going on when once they hear something, but they're really desiring to know what God's doing. I believe that it is the time of the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, and I believe that God's really going to be bringing these things forth in this locale through you people. Okay. Teaching this in F Street and read this verse. And verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And the way I read it was, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. And sometimes I wonder if that's not correct. The way that the body of Christ is manifesting these gifts, I wonder if sometimes the Apostle Paul wouldn't say today, concerning spiritual gifts, I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren. That's not what it's saying, okay? What he's saying here is concerning spiritual things, concerning the spiritual, I don't want you to be ignorant. And it's interesting what that word ignorant really means. It's number 50 in the Strong's Concordance, and it means not to know through lack of information or intelligence. In other words, Paul didn't want them ignorant because there was a lack of information or a lack of intelligence. He didn't want them to be ignorant because they ignored them. He didn't want them to be ignorant because they did not know, they did not understand, or it was unknown to them. Now, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual things. Now, I am amazed and at the same time appalled at the church world today. Because as a whole, now think with me. We are ignorant of spiritual things. Come on. How many of you really know? I mean, there's just no doubt. I mean, this morning and other teachings that you've had since you became a Christian, you know without doubt that you've got one of the 9 spiritual gifts. At least one. Some of you've got maybe 9. But you know that you've at least got one of those spiritual gifts abiding in your being. How many of you know that? Amen? But why aren't we manifesting them? Huh? You see, we're quadra-paralyzing the body of Christ. And that's what we talked about this morning. We have caused the body of Christ to be quadriparalyzed. It has a body because there's a lot of churches and there's a lot of people. It has the spirit. Our spirits are saved. We're renewing in our mind. But yet we cannot, for some reason, bring ourselves because of our pride or ignorance or something into manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. We're afraid we'll fall. We're afraid we'll make a fool of ourselves. So we take it and we hide our gift deep in our earth. Am I right?
Amen.
Sure I'm right. You know I'm right. And I think it's time that we get honest with ourselves because God already knows. And I think it's time that we understand that God wants a manifestation of His church to come forth. And you see it. You're witnessing a time when big names are falling. He's bringing down MAGA ministries and He's raising His church. And you're seeing this all around Him. Paul says, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant on spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be untaught. I want you to know and understand so that you can move in the gifts of the Spirit. Do you see he's saying that? Do you really believe that Paul really wants church, this church, any church, a church, some church, anywhere, to move in the gifts of the Spirit? Sure. Now, who has taken them out? Did God ever say in His Word, somebody tell me, please, if I'm wrong, did He ever say there would come a time when I'll remove all these gifts of Spirit from you? No. The only time you can ever come close to it is over there in chapter 13. He says, when that which is perfect is come, but you've got to understand what that He's talking about. What that perfect is. That's that perfect man of Ephesians 4:13. When the body of Christ comes into its maturity, its perfect state of being, when Jesus comes again, however you want to look at that, when there's a full manifestation, then we won't need those spiritual gifts, perhaps. I don't know. But I know that right now, there is no place in the Bible that can tell me that these things are not operative for in the decades of the 80s. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Yeah. Now, what should your attitude... I want to get this tonight. This is the primary thought. What should your attitude be? And what should your desire be towards spiritual gifts? What should you think about? How should you look toward? What should your attitude be about spiritual gifts? Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gift. What's the best gift? It's the one you've got. Covet 12:31. Covet earnestly. What does the NAS say? Earnestly desire. This word is likened. Let me show you one more. Look at chapter 14. Did I say 13:31 or 12:31 a while ago? 12:31. Okay, that's what I want. I'm going to make sure it's around the tape. Look at 14:1. Follow after charity. Let me give you a good definition for charity. It's really the pure Christian character. It's divine agape. It's divine love. It's the godlike characters of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance, and faith. It's the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. It's divine agape. It's the true Christian type life. That's what he's saying. Follow after divine agape. Follow after the pure Christian character. And desire what? Okay. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Desire gifts. I'm wanting you just to see that. Covet gifts, desire gifts. Now, this word covet and desire, it's really the same word in the Greek, and it's akin, but in a positive way, to lust. It's akin, but in a positive way, to lust. Have you ever, well, I won't ask you, if you've ever lusted, of course you haven't, I'm more righteous than that. How many can relate, though, to what he's trying to get across to there? He says, I want you to feel like you will explode if you can't have it. Yeah. I want you to just lust after it in such a dimension and in such a way that you must have it. You must obtain the spiritual gifts. You must obtain your gift. You must obtain it. Do you see that's what he's trying to relate to us there? It's amazing to me that Dr. Paul... Don't you think that he knew what he was talking about? I think that Dr. Paul here, I think that it's amazing to me that of all the things that he ministered in the Gospels, from salvation to the manifestations of the sons of God, from salvation to the coming of the Lord, from top to bottom, the only thing he ever says to lust after, desire, and covet is what? Gifts of the Spirit. That's what I want you to see. Gifts of the Spirit. And he said, I'd rather let you prophesy. I want you to get that thought. He wants the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit to operate in his body. He will not be happy until they are. Why? Why does he really want us to manifest the gifts? Man, you got it. Then you can come forth as Jesus did, unselfishly, and manifest to the people, minister to people, and do the same thing that Jesus did. Think like he thought, talk like he talked, walk like he walked, lay hands. Just the whole gamut. He wants a people that'll do exactly what he did. Now we saw that this morning. I don't have to go back and relate those scriptures, do I? He says, you've got apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so forth and so forth. Till, how long? Until we all come unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. All right, we looked also at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. What did it say there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2? He says, brethren, we know yet not what we shall be. He says, but we know this, that when he shall appear, we will be like him. Like him. There will be a people like Jesus when he comes again. He won't come until we get on the ball and stop being a paralyzed body and start putting hands on people and start raising the dead, start doing what he did. And we'll never start doing it until we start doing it.
Amen.
He said to cut it. Now, let me try to relate this to you. Do you covet a loved one that you have to obtain salvation? LaRue, do you covet for Jerry? Now, I'm not talking about scripturally, but do you desire, that's a good word, do you desire Jerry to receive salvation? Do you desire for a loved one that you have to come into a more fullness? Do you desire that a loved one that you have receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? Huh? Do you see what that's? But if he says, well, God is sovereign, and when God's ready to save me, he'll save me. Can you go through the scriptures and say, but look, it's already made manifest. He says, I don't want anybody to perish. I want them all to come. Can you show them that? And you begin, do you see what I'm saying? You begin to covet and desire them to come into the fullness. It's already been, all the work's been done. All they have to do is receive it and then walk in it. Do you see that? And what about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I covet, I lust for some of you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I desire that. And you say, well, when God's ready to baptize me in the Holy Ghost, he will. But no, you don't understand. You see, it's already been done. All you've got to do is bring it forth. It's already there. All you just do is bring it forth. Well, when God's ready. But no, I desire you to do it. I want you to walk in a greater understanding and revelation of Jesus. Do you see what I'm coveting? You're coveting for, it's already been done. All we've got to do is bring it. All we got to do is walk in it. It's the same way with the gifts of the Spirit. And what I'm trying to get across to us today is that they're there. They're already within us. And all I'm wanting to do is get us stirred up and walk in these things. They're in me. I know they're in me. I know that God's used me before, and he'll use me more and more and more as I yield. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that we have got to start bringing these things forth, coveting after them. Those of you that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you must start bringing them forth. You must. I'm going to show you in a minute that you must. It's not optional anymore. We can go to Billy Graham meetings. We can go to Jimmy Swaggart meetings. And he'll have them come down to the front. And he'll teach them how to get saved. Won't he? They'll say, pray after me, and they will, and they can come in a sinner and walk out with eternal life. Is that true? Okay. We can pray for somebody, lay hands on them, they'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and they have the baptism. We do that. How many of you received salvation by someone praying with you and leading you as it is to the Lord? Raise your hands. I want your hands. Come on. Help me now. Come on, work with me. You were led to the Lord by somebody praying with you. Okay. The good number. It must have worked. You're still here. Right? All right. What about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Somebody brought you down the front. You got hands laid upon you and prayed. And all of a sudden, you started, you know, it wasn't spooky spiritual. You just started manifesting the tongues. And someone helped you, led you, taught you how to do that. How many? Help me. Cooperate with me. Come on. All right. It must have worked. You see? Can we relate to this? Can we relate to the laying on of hands and gifts given by prophecy and by the presbytery? We can. Or some of us can. I'll show you scripture. Let's go to, I'm coming back here, so don't lose your place. Just look at one scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, 14. Okay. Neglect not the gift. The Apostle Paul is speaking here to Timothy. He says, neglect not the gift that is where? It's in thee, which was given thee, how? How? Okay, by prophecy, and with the laying on of hands of who? The presbytery. Now, when did this leave the church? Talk to me. I mean, okay, that's what I want. It didn't. We just don't do it. Okay? It's still here. We're just quadriparalyzed. You got me? Now, how many knows, though, that we're heading in a direction unlike any other fellowship that I know of in this area? And we're fixing to, we're fixing, that means just before doing. We're just before doing what the Scripture says do in this area. Given gifts with prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Okay? Now, these are in you, and what happens is they're just stirred up and manifested and brought forth out of you. But what I've got to get you to see is they're there, they're available, they've never come out of the church. We have just quadriparalyzed the body of Christ. We're just standing there, and we're not doing our spirit desires. Does your spirit desire to lay hands on somebody and see them healed? Does your spirit desire to manifest healing, to cast out devils? Does your spirit desire to see this whole entire county, nation, this whole area? Does it desire to come forth with these things?
Amen.
What stops it? I ain't gonna do it. What's his name on television? Let him eat it. He'll eat anything. Yeah, and Michael eat it. Let Delbert do it. He'll do anything. I'm telling you, the days of big men are over. It's going to be big churches, powerful churches. Churches, God's raising up churches today. Churches that's going to move forth in His ministries. Not just men. All right. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 14. It says desire and covet. Okay. 14:39, 1 Corinthians 14:39. We looked at this morning. I want to labor it just a little bit more. Where did the Corinthians learn about tongues? Sure, the Apostle Paul. It's the only way they could have learned. On the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey, he went to the city of Corinth. And there he established this New Testament church. Is Corinth a New Testament church? Do New Testament churches manifest the gifts of the Spirit? Paul went to a New Testament and established this New Testament church in Corinth. So where do you suppose, just suppose, they learned to talk in tongues? from Apostle Paul. Sure. And in verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, again, spiritual gifts, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Does the Apostle Paul say that it's all right if you speak with tongues? Yes, he does. Now, like we talked about this morning, tongues are very selfish. They're very, you know, it's the only selfish gift. That's why Jesus didn't manifest it. But at any rate, he still says, I want you to talk in tongues. I still want them coming forth. Don't you stop them. You prophesy, and you work spiritual gifts, and you talk in tongues. Now look at verse 40. And here again, we got the last part of that verse. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, how many understand that in most churches you go to, things are very decent and very in order? Amen? Okay. Just hang with me. You're ahead of me. They're very decent and they're very in order. And in fact, you walk in and they'll hand you a little bulletin. And it'll tell you... Do you remember... Well, I better hush. I'll be... Now, do you remember, though, when we had a meeting in this city, and we, all of us pastors, we received this outline of what was going to happen? I'm telling you, they had that thing lined out minute by minute by minute by minute at 7:05, 7:06, 7:09, 7:30, 7:31. I mean, man, there was no room for the Holy Ghost. It was in order. But they weren't doing all things. Now let's read the whole verse. Let all things be done. What comes first? The decently in order or all things being done? God wants all things done. Now what's he talking about here? What's he talking about? I want to make sure that I'm not leaving. What's he wanting done? What are all things? Spiritual gifts. Operation of the spiritual gifts. He says, I want all things done. You go ahead and do them, and then let the elders and the leadership get them decently in an order. Go ahead, let it come. Yeah, there'll be a little wildfire. Yeah, there'll be some weirdos to come through. Snake. So you got snakes and spiders. There'll be snakes and spiders all over. There'll be some weirdos. But at any rate, he says, get all things done. Get them done. Get all things done. Now, I'm going to get on this a little bit more. But I want you to see, God wants all things done. Now, we like the decently in order. Do you know why we like the decently in order? Because it's so easy just to sit there and feel like we have fulfilled our moral or spiritual or whatever, religious. There you go. We fulfilled our religious obligation. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. And he wants things to be done. Am I getting that across? He wants things to be done. How many churches have you ever gone into where it was out of order because of spiritual gifts? Huh? Because of spiritual gifts. Now, I've seen a lot that was out of order, but I don't guess, maybe you have. But I've never been in one that was out of order because of spiritual gifts. Now, in other words, what he's saying is that everybody wants to manifest spiritual gifts and it gets out of order. Now, I've seen a couple try to run the show and a couple try to take over and do things that were not spiritual gifts. Okay? They were doing them from the flesh. Is that what, kind of what you, yeah. Functioning in the flesh. But I've never really been to one where over here, man, there was somebody prophesying to somebody, laying on the hands, getting them healed. And back over there was casting out a devil. And over here, you know, they might have been giving somebody a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. And all these things going on. You know, that, to me, every church, the pastor and the elders got to pump you. Come on. Come on. Somebody got a tongue. Somebody's got a prophecy. I know you do. I feel it in my heart. We got to pump you and get you pumped up, and I got to pump myself. Now, I've been to a lot of those kind of services, have you? But I've never been to one where it was really out of order because of the manifestation of the gifts. I want to see that. I want to see so much going on in the gifts of the Spirit. I've got to get the elders together and say, hey, what are we going to do? And don't never worry about the wildfire. As Dr. Bill says, there's always enough wet blanket Christians around to put out the wildfire. All right. I've already got 2 points covered. Say this. You may want to quote me. I don't know. But the days of the great man are over. This is the day of the great church. Jesus says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not in any way prevail against it. I just feel to do this because it does tie. Am I doing okay? Am I giving more than the rear can stand? I mean, are we still okay? I'm hurrying. I guess when I read that scripture in Matthew 16 about the gates of hell, the church, and so forth, that until recently, I was really started teaching on the New Testament church, I would see the church, Zion. And man, it was being blasted. You know, it was just, here comes the devil. Boy, he's just coming at it, just blasting it, just really coming in all directions. And how many of you see it that way? You know, there's the church, man. And boy, you know, here comes the devil, oh Lord. You know, put up the gates. But do you know what he's really telling us to do? He's saying this. Here's the citadel of hell, and here comes the church. Bang! Bang! Word of knowledge, bang! Gift of healing, bang! Faith, bang! And it cannot prevail against the church. We're not running from some gate. We're attacking the gate. And it will fall just like in Jericho. We're going to shout just like I did. We're going to shout, and those things are coming down because the citadel of hell cannot prevail against the church. We're attacking. We're not defeated. We are running towards, not running from.
Hallelujah.
We're going, folk. We're attacking the gates of hell.
Praise God. Praise
how? You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
We'll never attack the gates of hell till we begin to manifest the gifts that He's given us to attack the gates of hell with. He makes them sick, we get them well. He gives them financial bondages, we give them freedom. He does this, we do this. He cannot prevail. We attack, we attack, we attack. Army of the Lord attacks. Okay. The days of the great man are over. This is the day of the great church. God's bringing forth His church. Chapter 14, verse 26, 1 Corinthians. How many of you half a? You got a half a? All right. Now, you guys with the other translations, I can't get away with this with you. Maybe it says has a, something like that. But I want to play with half a. Half a. How is it then, brother? He says, how should it be? How should a church service be? How is it, brothers? Tell me, how should a church service be? And then he answers this question. When you come together, everyone, or is it just the elite few whose God has sovereignly picked out from among you and gave the gift of prophecy, the working of miracles? Just a sovereign couple. How many?
Everyone.
Come on, help me. Every one of you, all of us, half of. Do you get these? When we come together, every one of you, half of. I want to be a member of the half a club. Okay? I'm teaching a whole lot that I've learned this week, and I hope it's okay. But all these aren't my thoughts. Boy, I wish they were. This is good. Half a club. I want to be a member of the half a club. I want to bring my half to the church. We are members of a club. How many are a part of the Whosoever Will Club? Amen? How many of you have been saved by the sovereignty of God, and it says that whosoever will, all you've got to do is believe and confess His name, and then whosoever will shall be saved. Are you a member of the Whosoever Will Club? Then we as much should be a member of the Hatha Club. And he says, every one of you hath a song. Every one of you hath a teaching or a doctrine. Every one of you hath a uh-oh. Every one of you hath a tongue. Every one of you hath a revelation. Every one of you hath a interpretation. He just stopped there. He should have went on. He could have said, every one of you hath the word of knowledge. Every one of you hath the word of wisdom. Every one of you hath the discerning of spirits. Every one of you hath the gift of healing. Every one of you hath a miracle. Every one of you hath a gift of faith. Every one of you hath a prophecy. How is it then, brethren? Tell me, people, how should a church service be? We should all have a hatha. How about it? How is it then, brethren, when you come together, you minister one to another because you all have a hatha?
Praise God forever.
Do you like that? I like the being in that hatha club. And then he says, let's read it again. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let one or two of these be done. My goodness. And we thought we were having church. We really did, didn't we? All these years, we really figured that we were coming and we were having church service. Does that kind of convict you a little bit? Does it prick you? It does mine. It pricks my heart. Because I am the pastor, and I'm supposed to be the leader, and man, I let you in and out of here without a hatha. And he says, let all things be done. How many of you really would like to come to church where everybody had a hatha? And all these things were done. Now we have a psalm. And really what he's talking about here is the song of the Lord. Every one of you have a psalm. Song of the Lord, spiritual song. Every one of you have a teaching. Every one of you. Now, I mean, when he says everyone, he's talking about singular. You know, you have this, you have this, you have this. We are all members of the body of Christ. Let the members come together and bring forth the church service. You see, it's not for a man to be manifested in the church service. He wants his body to be manifested. He wants us all to come together and have a hatha. Let all things be done unto edifying. Do you covet a New Testament church?
Amen.
Do you really? Do you really? Are you tired of playing games with God and just for some religious activity, getting up on Sunday morning and going to church? And for religious activity, go Sunday night and whenever Tuesday night or whatever we do. I'm really wanting to see something come. It's happening in me. I feel it. Something's changing in my mentality, the way I'm thinking about church services. They have got to have hathas in them. You got to say something. Well, praise God. I really feel that. Do this. Share this after I get finished teaching, because I think I know what you're fixing to say. You were raised from the dead, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Sir.
Share that when I get through the teaching. Right. I think it'll edify us.
Right.
All right. She has a hatha.
Amen.
Amen. Share that. I think just as soon as we get through with this, I think it'll edify and fit right in. Okay. Let me get back to my thought. How many of us have been to a funeral type church service? I'm not talking about her death when she died. How many of us have been to a funeral type church service? And you know what we do at a funeral? Do you know what we do at a funeral? We reverence someone that's dead up front. And that's what a lot of church services are. We reverence someone that's dead up front. A lot of ministries are dead ministries. I don't want to be a dead ministry. I don't want you to reverence me because I'm up front. I want you to come in here with an aliveness to you. I want you to bring your hathas to church. I want us to produce life here. come forth with the truth in a New Testament church. Okay? Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:7. All right. Talking now just about the manifestations of the gifts. I want to read 12 on down through here a little bit, and then I'm trying to close. But the manifestations of the Spirit will one day be given in the great millennia to some chosen few to profit some of us. Did I misread that? All right. Let's get with me, okay? Come back in with me. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the kingdom of God will be one day. The kingdom of God is. The manifestations of the Spirit is. They, okay. But the manifestation of the Spirit is, or all, whatever translation you've got, mine's King James, that's the one Paul used, is given. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given. When? When He came on the day of Pentecost, those gifts came with Him. They have never left. They will never leave. They are here. The manifestations of the Spirit is here. They is given. All right? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to some chosen few. All right. Do you have the manifestations of the Spirit? According to 1 Corinthians 12:7. Scripturally speaking, do you have the manifestations of the Spirit? All right. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to you, every man, to profit withal. Now, there's another every man I want to get here. And I'll just skip that and I'll go straight to verse 11. And it says, it gives you the list of these. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to the chosen few, every man severally. How many? Severally. Do you only have to have one? How many may you have? You may have nine of them, according to this eight, seven, eight, and nine. Okay, you may have all the eight, nine, and ten. You may have all those manifestations within you, and I tend to lean that way, because Christ comes, and where does He dwell? In you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Does He bring part of Himself into you? He brings all of Himself into you.
Amen.
Is this the manifestations of Christ in the Spirit? Sure it is. So He comes to dwell in you. Those gifts are in you severally. Severally as He will. Now, what I want to do, and let's do it in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. What I want you to do there is on every put your name, first name, and on man, your last name. When I read it, okay, when I read that, I want you to, when I get to every, I'm going to say Delbert. When I get to man, I'm going to say Young. Manifestations of the Spirit is given to Delbert Young to profit withal. When we read that aloud, I want you to read with me. Will you participate with me? Because these are given to you. If you are born again, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. These gifts are in there. And they're given to you. Not when the millennia comes, and not when some man of fire comes along with fire flying out of the end of his fingers and lays hands on you. They are in there right now. So let's read it together. Participate with me. Read loud. Does God like loudness? Yes, He does. Revelation. Remember, we've been talking about that lately in the book of Revelation. All of the times around the throne, it's very loud. Very, very loud up there. Go ahead and get used to some loudness. All right, here we go. If you that don't have the Holy King James, just do the best you can, okay? But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to Delbert Young to profit withal. Now that's truth. You just read Logos, but if you will allow it to, that will become Rhema in your spirit. And it will start coming forth, and you will understand that those things are given to you. Now let's go to verse 11 and do the same thing. When I get to every man. But all these work, if you're reading, start again. You know your names, right? Okay. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to Delbert Young severally as He will. Now, that's truth. You've got to understand that, or we'll never move and storm in the gates of hell. We cannot come against, we cannot be the church. All we'll ever be is what we've always been. It's just a quadriplegic church with a Spirit inside that wants to manifest to Himself. But unless we start moving our members, does anybody in here have a problem understanding that they're the body of Christ? You are the body of Christ. Look at verse 27 of chapter 12. Now you will one day be, when you die and go to heaven, you are right now the body of Christ and members in particular. Somebody led us and showed us how to get saved. They taught us. Somebody led us and we received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They taught us. What's happening now is somebody is trying to teach us the manifestations of our members. God wants us to manifest our members. You are the body of Christ. You're members. I am the part of the body of Christ. I have got to now allow my members. Okay, I got to start laying hands on people. And I got to start prophesying. I've got to start doing the gifts that I know are in me. Are you with me so far? Be honest with me. I want you to admit it again. You did it a while ago, but I really want you to participate. Some of you aren't, and I really want you to. I want you to participate with me. How many of you really will be honest with me and will admit that you have one of those gifts of the Spirit dwelling in you, and you know that it's there? Really, help me. You know that there's a gift in you. Okay. You admit it. Now, do you understand? That's a talent God's given you. And that one day He's coming back. And one day when He comes back, He's going to knock. And He's going to say, I come to see what you've done with that talent that I gave you. And you're going to go, oh. You're talking about that gift. Yeah. Talking about that gift. Well, I hid it deep in my earth. You see, Lord, you only gave me the gift of tongues, and it was just one gift, and I didn't think that it was necessary. He's going to say, that's all right. Bless your little heart. It's the pastor's fault anyway, because he should have spent more time with you. I'll just give you a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I knew you were timid. I knew you were a little bit shy. Is that what's going to happen?
No.
You need to know what's going to happen. Wait. Hold it till we get through. Okay. I just want to get through, Rod. And I promise you, I'm going to come back to you. In fact, I'm going to write that down because I will forget. Okay. I want to show you, or maybe I'll answer it by showing you the Scripture. Let's look at Matthew 25 and see what happens to this fellow. Matthew 25, and I'm done. You got to know this. I would not be a pastor tending the sheep and taking care of you if I don't allow you to see what's going to happen to those who are given talents and don't manifest them. Now, you remember, let's read it. Matthew 25, verse 14. We're not going to read all of this. It goes all the way over to 30. And I'm just going to pick up a few verses here and there. Verse 14, it begins. He's telling a parable. Jesus is telling a parable. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven, for the what? Kingdom. All right, you got that? What's he talking about? Is he talking about the kingdom? Okay. For the kingdom of heaven is... as a man traveling into a far country, who is that man? All right. Far country who called his own servants. Who'd he call? Servants. And delivered unto them his gifts or his goods. Okay, you got that? He says goods, but do you see what I'm trying to relate to you? Gifts. That's what he's talking here. The type that he's bringing into our understanding is he gave you, before he left, he gave gifts. All right? And he's given you gifts, hasn't he? And he's given you talents. Now, he's given some of you four, some of you two, some of you one, and you may have all nine. You know, that's irrelevant at the principle. It's the principle of the parable that we look for. The principle of the parable. He gave one servant five. He gave one servant two. He gave one servant one. He came back one day. He said, "All right, servant, I come. I want to collect the talents that I gave you. I gave you five talents. How many talents have you gotten?" He says, "Lord, I got five more." He says, "You gave me five gifts. I went forth and I got five people prophesying. I got them working in gifts of healing and faith. They work just as well as I do. You gave me five. I've got five working. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the..." I'm looking to make sure, Ann. I think so. Okay. We better leave it alone. I think in the other. Okay. But I think in one translation it does say kingdom. But we'll leave it alone. All right. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, he goes to the next guy. "I come to get those talents I gave. Yeah, I gave you two. What have you done with them?" "Well, you gave me two gifts, Lord, and I took them and I manifested them, and I've got two others working just like I work, just as well as I can function and just as well as I can manifest them. I've got them working. I've got them cooking, Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant." He goes to the guy he gave one gift to. Now, how many know even Stephen don't get it? Are you seeing that? The principle in God's Word is never even Stephen. If you give, he's going to give you 30, 60, 100 fold, right? All right, he gives you, and what does he expect back? Okay, he wants more than he's given you. All right, so here we go. Now let's pick up on this guy. Let's get the word. Verse 24. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you were a mean God. I knew you were a hard man. You reaped where you sowed not, and you gathered where you didn't straw. You're a mean God. I was afraid.'" Look at verse 25. "And I was afraid. I was afraid to speak in tongues and bring forth a message in tongues in the service because I was afraid. I was afraid no one would interpret it. I was afraid to give somebody a word because I was afraid it would be wrong and I'd be a fool. I was afraid to share that revelation with you because I was afraid my mind would lock up and I wouldn't be able to bring forth what you told me to share. I was afraid." Now, be honest. Come on. You've already told me you've got gifts. Bunch of them. How many would be honest enough to say, "Delbert, there has been times in the services when I really felt impressed of the Lord to do something, but I was afraid"? Come on. More than that. No, you're not being honest with the Lord. "Lord, look at this." Who has not manifested or done something in the church and in the meetings because you were afraid of something? Being a fool or somebody wouldn't interpret your tongue or your word might be wrong. Okay. You're getting my principle. You knew it was good, didn't you? You knew to do it, but you were afraid. You were afraid. "And I was afraid and went and hid my talent." Well, God, you only gave me tongues. And what I would do is I'd hide it and I'd bring it out every couple of months in my prayer closet. I'd talk in tongues so nobody would hear me. But you know, I just kind of hid it in my heart. Hid it down deep in my earth. He hid that talent deep. "And lo, there thou hast that is thine." He gave it to him. "The Lord answered and said unto him, 'You precious little saint, I am so sorry. Bless your heart. It's the preacher's fault. It's your wife's fault. It's your husband's fault. It's your children's fault. You just come on in anyway.'" Now, I'm wanting you to get this. Please get this. I feel this is relevant to the time of the Lord today. He says, look at this. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money in exchangers. You should have at least put it in the bank and got me some interest on it. You could have done something with it. You could have manifested something with your gift. If you couldn't have doubled it or what, you could have done something with your gift. And that's what I want. Some of you can do something with your gifts. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Now, drop down to 30. Cast you the unprofitable servant into the cabin in the corner of glory land, into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I don't know what that means. That really doesn't go along with my theology. But I don't know if that's the cabin in the corner of glory land, the bottom tong of the rope or the ladder to heaven. I don't know. But I don't want to go there. Okay? I don't want to go there. Do you? Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's time for the church to come forth. Stop hiding our talents in our heart in the earth and bring them forth and manifesting them, letting them come forth. How will anyone, if you only have, say, Delbert, all I've got is a message of tongues. Well, how will that person next to you or this person over here on this side of the sanctuary, how will they ever learn to manifest tongues if they never get an instruction from you? You hear me? How will anybody ever learn to prophesy, lay hands on people, pray for the sick if I don't do that thing? How will we ever learn to manifest the word of knowledge and gifts of healings if somebody doesn't show somebody how to do it? How will you ever double or if you've got 5 talents, how will you ever produce 5 unless you use those 5? Do you see what I'm saying? It's time for the church to come forth and bring forth the talents God's given her. We've been quadriparalyzed too long. God wants us to start moving and activating ourselves. He's activating gifts in you. He's stirring your heart right now. Please, please, please don't leave this meeting tonight and say, well, I'm glad he's over that. We won't have to hear about the gifts of the Spirit for a while. I'm sure glad he's finished that. Please, please, please say, I can't wait. I covet to get back there next week so that I can bring forth my message in tongue, so that I can bring forth my interpretation, so that I can bring forth my word of knowledge. I covet gifts. I covet to come to church and half a psalm and half a word and half a knowledge and half of these things. Can you do that? Will you promise me that you will try your uttermost to do this?
Yeah.
Now, how many see and know? Without doubt, you've already told me you've got gifts that you haven't manifested. You've already told me that there's been times when you knew that you should do good and didn't do it. Right? You're still doing that now. You haven't backed out. One more time, raising your hands, and then I'm going to close. You know that you need to manifest these gifts that are in you. You know to do it. Come on. You know that you need to. Please, please, please cooperate, because I'm fixing to get you. All right? All right, good. You know, one last scripture, James chapter 4. You just told me you know that you should manifest gifts. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just trying to get you aware that God wants His gifts manifested. Why? He wants people healed. He wants His church raised up. He wants to build His church. He wants His church to come forth in power and glory. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, I want to say that. Therefore, because you've heard all I've had to say. You've heard what the Spirit said to the church today. Because you believe that and you've raised your hand and you say, I know. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Gotcha. Now, you got to see what I'm trying to get across to you and say. All right? I'm not wanting to force you. I shouldn't have to force you. You should covet to bring forth the things God's given you. I should have to find a place in the service for you to manifest. I mean, there should be so much going on. I say, wow, you know, this one's got a word, and this one's got a psalm, and this one's got a prophecy, and man, this one over here's got a healing. And how are we going to find time to get all of these people worked in? You should covet, desire, earnestly desire to manifest your gifts. Do you see that? You with me? Okay. It's been long. Long message. And you got to admit, I've done really well. I don't do this much. Okay. Now, cut your tape off.